last perhaps couple years, I've slowly gone through these four chapters, and I just like to go through Colossians 4 this morning. I'd like to start reading from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 22. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest or plain as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brother which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is his or her house." Some are not sure that name is male or female. "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be unto you. Amen." Colossae was a city in the province of Phrygia, in the area now known as Asia Minor. It was located 10 miles east of Laodicea and 13 miles southeast of Hierapolis. It was also located about 100 miles east of Ephesus. Colossae was a town that had seen better days. As we look at chapter 4 and verse 1, we need to go back to, as I read in Colossians 3, because it talks about a servant. And in verse 1 of 4 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." A businessman asked his Bible study group, "How can you tell if you have a servant attitude?" The answer, by the way you react. when you are treated like one. The Apostle Paul repeatedly brings these matters of everyday life under the searchlight of the Lordship of Christ as follows. Again, referring back to those verses in chapter 3. For wives, obedience as is fitting in the Lord. Children, well pleasing to the Lord. Servants, fearing the Lord and serving as unto the Lord. Verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we look at continue in prayer and watch, I was reminded of Nehemiah. In verses 6 to 9, it says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work, but there was opposition. Then verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. They had a job to do. There was opposition. Oftentimes we face obstacles and opposition for serving the Lord. And yet we can, as back in Nehemiah's day, nevertheless we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch. We can continue to pray, but we can also be watchful, knowing that the Lord is continuing to be with us and guide. Then down to verse 14, he says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your husbands. You know, in spite of any opposition we may face, we need to remember the Lord and trust Him to lead and guide our steps. He is ever faithful to continue to direct us and lead us and guide. Again, when we think of continuing prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, I was reminded of three verses, one in Mark, two in Mark, and one in Luke. And it talks about the Lord Jesus, and He says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Again, in 14, verse 38, He says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. In Luke 21, 36 says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now we can hold fast to what the Lord has committed to us and stand firm without compromise. That's one of the things that continues to happen today. We face certain situations and oftentimes we may be perhaps led to compromise our position and our standing with Him. But we need to hold fast to the Lord, what He has committed to us. William Cowper said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. No matter the opposition we may have or face, we can continue to look for Him. Then verse 3 says, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, to which I am also in bonds, that it may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Going back to the first chapter of Colossians 26 and 27, it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now was made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that's mentioned in verse 3, the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then we look at verse 5, and it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Someone has said, perhaps Wayne McDonald, speak what is spiritual, wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, complimentary, gentle, truthful, loving, and thoughtful. In our daily walk, we can demonstrate to those without that we are different, that we have a Savior, one to whom, one we love, and one that we want to serve and live for. And it's by our spirituality, by our being wholesome, fitting, kind, and sensitive. Oftentimes, a gentle word is enough for people to change their minds, have a different heart, attitude. Oftentimes, perhaps even saying a kind word, being complimentary, being gentle and truthful, loving and thoughtful, we are able to show them that are without. And as we redeem the time, then we can always walk with grace and continue to in our speech that way. Then Paul gives final greetings, the balance of the chapter. And in verse 7 he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know your state and comfort your hearts. Ephesians 6:21-22 says, but that you also may know my affairs, and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. This servant, this fellow worker, this fellow companion of Paul's, was there with him. And he was a beloved brother. He was faithful in his ministry to the Lord. And he was encouraging the saints in Ephesians, in Ephesus, to accept this brother that was coming to them. And he was going to share with them the things that he and Paul were involved in and how Paul was doing. In Acts 20, verse 4, it says, and there accompanied him Paul, that is Paul, into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. And then in 2 Timothy 4, 9-12, it says, do thy diligence to come unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, preaches to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So Paul was confident that this man was going to declare to them, and even in not only in Ephesus but in Colossae, and he could say of him that he was a beloved brother, he was faithful, and a fellow servant. how we need people like that today, men and women, young and old, willing to come alongside, willing to be used and to serve together. First night, I want to leave to the end because I was pressed by reading Philemon. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoners, salute you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. Touching him, he received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. Remember that Mark was cousin of Barnabas. At one time, he was with Paul, and there was a disagreement, and Barnabas left with Mark. And it's interesting, and I've always, it was encouraging to me that later on, as I guess Mark's attitude and manner and life changed, but Paul was willing to accept him and welcome him back. And so, yes, we can have those ones who perhaps we've had times they may disappoint or they may you know, walk away for a time, but we continue to need to continue to pray for these ones that they will be restored, as it were, and continue to serve and live for him. Verse 11 says, that Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, fellow Hebrew believers, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been of comfort unto me. Then we look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And two verses, Colossians 1:7 and Philemon 1:23. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And in Philemon, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Paul could say of this man, he was a servant of Christ. He was laboring fervently, not only in service, but also in prayer. And that's what we need. I've always been impressed and pleased when you hear of the number of women who are praying for the leadership, who are praying for one another, who are so faithful in coming before the Lord, and we are certainly thankful for them. Then we read in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. And I found this interesting that in the same verse he mentions Demas. Luke, the one that was with Paul, Paul could say of him, beloved. He was a physician. He took care of Paul. And then, as I read before, we read about Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. What happened to Demas? It doesn't say, but Paul, in this chapter, mentions him alongside Luke. Both of them greeting those saints in Colossae. But something happened to him. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And we know that there are those that serve the Lord for time, and then something seems to happen, and we don't see them serving him, but we can continue to pray. Then verse 15 says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in the home. And we've made of other churches in other places that are held in homes. And we are sort of experiencing that now because of this COVID-19. We cannot meet in a physical building, but we are able to meet via Zoom and other means. And it's certainly been precious to, in particular, be able to break bread together, to hold Wednesday prayer meetings, to be encouraged by videos that we have been seeing lately. And so we continue to just be thankful for what the Lord is doing. And then verse 16 says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and you likewise read the epistle from the Laodicean. And then verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And he closes off the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds, grace be unto you. And then you need to go back to verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. You know, in Paul's letter to Philemon, Onesimus was a runaway slave who sought to escape from punishment by fleeing to Rome. Somehow, he had come in contact with Paul, who in turn and pointed him to Christ. Now, Onesimus is going to travel back to his former master, Philemon, in Colossae. I think that's why verse 1 of chapter 4 is important, because it says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just. And he equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And as Paul wrote to Philemon, there are 3 or 4 verses that I'd just like to read and comment on from there. Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, our fellow laborer. First of all, as mentioned in the comment, Onesimus had run. He had fled from his master. And I found it interesting that Paul would address this letter to Philemon and say, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Yes, he was indeed, but I think it was an encouragement to Philemon to take this one and receive him. Philemon was dearly beloved. He was a fellow laborer. Then as we look at verse 10, it says, I beseech thee now for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to me, to thee and to me. To think that now Onesimus, Paul was entrusting him to take a letter to Colossae. And writing to Philemon, he says, he might have been unprofitable to you in the past, but now he's profitable not only to you, but to me as well. In verse 12, he says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. So what an encouragement to one. And he says in verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. You know, when people come to saving faith in the Lord, there is a change in their lives. And we can continue to look to the Lord and pray, and to continue to be witnesses and live for Him and serve Him. But as we look at this book of Colossians, I just want to close with this hymn, Thou Alone, Thou Alone, Lord Jesus. Thou alone, Lord Jesus, canst true peace impart. Thou dost know the sorrow of the human heart. Thou who camest from glory, hear that heart to win, and in love for sinners, suffers once for sin. There is none, Lord Jesus, there is none like Thee. For the broken heart, there is none like Thee. Hearts bowed down with sadness, laden with their sin. Through Thy blood, Lord Jesus, boldly enter in. Gladly hear Thee call. Come to me and rest. Lose their heavy burden on Thy loving breast. There is none, Lord Jesus, there is none like Thee. For the heavy laden, there is none like Thee. Worldly joy is fleeting, vanity itself. Vain the dazzling brightness, vain the stores of wealth. Vain the pomp and glory, only Thou canst give peace and satisfaction whilst on earth we live. There is none, Lord Jesus, there is none like Thee. For the soul that thirsteth, there is none like Thee. So it's mentioned for the brokenhearted, for the heavy laden, for those that are thirsting. Christ is the one. He is the answer. And we can rejoice in the fact that we serve a living Savior today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are thankful for who You are. The one who, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son. Only begotten Son. The one and only Son. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are a living, loving, coming Savior. We thank You that even today there are those that are responding to the good news, responding to the gospel, and are coming to faith in Christ. We've seen examples today, even in this chapter, of those who had a change in their lives because someone was willing to speak to them about the things of the Lord. Yes, we also read about one who departed, had a change of heart, and for whatever reason decided not to continue to follow. But Father, we today can continue to be faithful in serving and loving You. So continue to direct our hearts and minds. Continue to watch over us as we give You thanks and praise in Your Son's most worthy and beloved name. Amen.